نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. And I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave servant and his messenger. We'd like to continue in this lecture this evening, lecture number 30, by a quick review of the handout which you have in front of you from the last lecture, 29, which we didn't give out at that time. This handout was from last lecture. Inshallah, we'll just review these points, the last points which we covered, and then a brief summary of some of those groups which were mentioned in point number, or in the end of the book, after point number 105. So let us start with point number 100, the statement of Al-Imam Al-Sahawi rahimahullah in his book Al-Aqidah Al-Sahawiyyah. He says, وَنُؤْمِنُ بِأَشْرَاقِ السَّاعَةِ. We believe in the signs of the hour, meaning the hour or the day of judgment. مِنْ خُرُوجِ الدَّجَّالِ. And from amongst those signs is the appearance of the Dajjal, the Antichrist. وَنُزُولْ عِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمْ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ مِنَ السَّمَاعِ. And the descent of Isa ibn Maryam عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ from the heavens. Also from amongst the major signs of the judgment day. And we said that the signs of the judgment day are divided into major and minor signs. Those which are mentioned here are of the major signs. وَنُؤْمِنُ بِتُلُوعِ الشَّمْسِ مِنْ مَغْرِبِهَا. يعني that the sun would rise from the west. This is one of the signs of the last day. That instead of the sun rising from the east, it would rise from its place of setting from the west. وَخُرُوج دَابَةِ الْأَرْضِ مِنْ مَوْضِعِهَا. And that the beast of the earth would come out of its place. It would emerge from its place in the earth, and this would also be one of the major signs of the approach, of the nearness of the Day of Judgment. When we see these signs, these are the major signs that the judgment has approached. And we only mentioned briefly, we didn't discuss any of these signs in detail, but we mentioned the proof of this is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which has been reported in the Sahih of Al-Imam Muslim and the Sunan of Ibn Majah, that the hour of judgment would not take place until the people see 10 signs. And from amongst those signs, he mentions Ad-Dajjal, the Antichrist, Ad-Daba, the beast that would come from the earth, Tulu' al-Shamsi min Maghribiha, the rising of the sun from the west, وَنُزُولْ عِيسَى بْنِ مَرْيَمْ in the descent of Jesus, Isa ibn Maryam alayhi salam, amongst other signs. And the Shaykh says, Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Rahman al-Khumayis, hafidhullah, says that these signs, they are al-alamat al-kubra. They are the major signs of the hour, and they are also minor signs, which have been mentioned in other places in the authentic hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then Al-Imam al-Tahawi says in point number 101, وَلَا نُصَدِّقُ كَاهِنًا وَلَا عَرَّافًا. And we do not confirm as being true the sayings of the kahin, soothsayers, or those who claim knowledge of the unseen, and the arraf, fortune tellers, who base their claim on the movement or the position of the planets or the stars. وَلَا مَنْ يَدَّعِي شَيْئًا يُخَالِفُ الْكِتَابَ وَالسُنَّةَ وَإِجْمَعَ الْأُمَّةِ. Nor do we accept or confirm or believe those things which are claimed by anyone who opposes or contradicts the Qur'an, al-kitab, meaning the Qur'an, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the ijma' or consensus of the Muslim ummah. Whoever makes a claim to anything which is in contradiction to the Qur'an, and in contradiction to the sunnah, or in contradiction to the ijma' or consensus of the ummah, we reject whatever they may claim. And we say that no one knows the unseen, and no one knows what will happen in the future, except that Allah reveals it to a prophet or a messenger. Otherwise, only the knowledge of the unseen is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we mention from Surah Al-Luqman, chapter 31, verse 34, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَكْسِبُ غَدًا, that no soul even knows what it will earn tomorrow. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتٍ, and no soul knows even in which land it would die. إِنَّ اللَّهَ عَلِيمٌ خَبِيرٌ, verily Allah is Alim, the all-knowing, Khabir, the all-aware. We also mentioned the saying of the Prophet ﷺ that anyone who goes to a soothsayer or a fortune teller and believes what they say, then that person فَقَدْ كَفَرَ بِمَا أَنزَلَ عَلَىٰ مُحَمَّدٍ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَىٰ وَسَلَّمَ, that person has disbelieved in what has been revealed to the Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم. And it is kufr to confirm or to believe in the things that the soothsayers, the fortune tellers, and other such false claims from those who claim to have knowledge of the unseen or knowledge of the future. Then Al-Imam al-Tahawi says in point number 102, وَنَرَى الْجَمَاعَةَ حَقًّا وَصَوَابًا وَالْفُرْقَةَ زَيْغًا وَعَذَابًا. We hold the view that al-jama'ah, sticking to the jama'ah, sticking to the group, and of course we said on many occasions al-jama'ah, it primarily means first and foremost the first jama'ah, the sahaba, sticking to the way of sahaba, and those who followed their way from amongst the tabi'een, and atba' tabi'in, the imams of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and so on. Sticking to the Jama'ah and not separating into groups. And the Jama'ah that we are talking about first and foremost is the Sahaba. As the Prophet ﷺ told us that the way that they are upon is the way that we should follow. So we hold the view that Al Jama'ah, or sticking to the Jama'ah, is the true and right way. It is Haq and Sawab. It is the true way and it is the right way. While al-furqa, separating into sects and groups and parties, is deviation and it leads to punishment. Yani, these groups and sects and parties that the people have divided into based on their opinions, their feelings, their desires, and their false beliefs, these groups are only ways of deviation, and they also, following those groups and their ideas, leads to destruction and punishment in this life and in the next. And we mentioned here the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 153, فَأَنَّ هَذَا صِرَاطِي مُسْتَقِيمًا, that verily this is my straight way. Yani, the way, the correct way is only one way, the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the straight way. فَاتَّبِعُوهُ, so you are ordered to follow it. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلُ, and don't follow the ways, the various ways, other than the main road, the straight way. Any way other than that is deviation. وَلَا تَتَّبِعُوا السُّبُلُ, and don't follow the other ways. فَتَفَرَّقَ بِكُمْ عَنْ سَبِيلِهِ, for those things will separate you, those other ways will separate the Muslims from the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And here we mention the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he said that his ummah would be divided into 73 sects, and all of them would be in the fire except one. And when they asked which one, he said, al-jama'ah. So we believe that the way of the jama'ah is the correct way, it is the way of truth and right, and it is the way that leads to success and salvation And when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked about the jama'ah, who is the jama'ah, he said, مَا أَنَا عَلَيْهِ الْيَوْمُ أَصْحَابِي. That is, it is the way or the road that I am upon today and my companions. So this is the correct way, the middle path, the straight path that Allah has ordained for us and chosen for us and is pleased with. As Imam Tahawi says in point number 103, وَدِينُ اللَّهِ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَالسَّمَاعِ وَاحِدٍ. That the deen of Allah in the earth and in the heavens is one. There is only one deen of Allah. وَهُوَ دِينُ الْإِسْلَامِ. And it is al-Islam. There is nothing else acceptable to Allah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَالَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. That verily the deen with Allah that is accepted by Allah, it is al-Islam. This is in Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3, verse 19. And also the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَرَضِيتُ لَكُمُ الْإِسْلَامَ دِينَ. That I am pleased with Islam as your deen. Allah has chosen Islam to be our deen. This is mentioned in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 3. And also we mentioned the saying, the saying of Allah in Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3, verse 85, whoever speaks other than Islam as a deen, then it will never be accepted from him. وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِي غَيْرُ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَيْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. And he will be in the hereafter among the losers. And then we mentioned so many ayats which prove that the deen of Allah is one deen, it is only Islam, and the verses in the Quran which show that the prophets of the previous nations, Musa, Isa, and so on, that all of them, they were Muslims, and their followers were Muslims. Then the saying of Imam al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, point number 104, where he describes one of the great descriptions of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and it is a particular characteristic of the Muslim Ummah, that it is the middle nation, which follows the middle course and doesn't go to any extreme. And Imam Tahawi says, وَهُوَ بَيْنَ الْغُلُوِ وَالتَّقْصِيرِ وَبَيْنَ التَّشْبِيهِ وَتَعْدِيلِ وَبَيْنَ الْجَبْرِ وَالْقَدْرِ وَبَيْنَ الْأَمْنِ وَالْإِيَّاسِ. That's the correct way, the middle course, the way of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. It is between al-ghulu, exceeding the limit, and al-taqsir, falling short. That is, we don't go to the extreme beyond the bounds of what Allah has legislated, nor do we fall short in fulfilling the obligations that Allah has placed upon us. And it is also the correct course is in between, at tashbih, comparison, or making comparisons between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His creatures. Yani we don't make comparison between the characteristics of Allah and the characteristics of the human being. So, the names may be the same, Allah sees and human beings see. And Allah has power and human beings have power. The words, the expressions are the same, but the meaning of them, yani the actuality, the reality of it is different. The seeing of Allah is not like the seeing of His creatures, and so on, the knowledge of Allah and so on. So we don't make any comparison between Allah and His creatures. We are between a tashbih, making comparison, and ta'atil, which is the other extreme, the negation of Allah's names and characteristics. Those people who didn't want to make a comparison between Allah and His creatures, then they negated Allah's characteristics. They said Allah doesn't have hands, because if Allah has hands, then he will be like human beings, because human beings have hands. So they tried to escape from making comparison, and they fell into negation, ta'atil. So they negated those things which Allah affirmed for Himself, and which the Prophet ﷺ confirmed for him. And we are also between al-jabr, the belief that man has no free will, that man is forced to do whatever he does, that Allah has decreed for him everything, and he only comes into this world and enacts that which has been decreed for him without having any ability to do otherwise or to choose what he wants to do. This is one extreme, the jabr or jabariya, and the opposite extreme is the qadariya, those who believe that man has absolute free will, that man does whatever he will without his will being subject to the will of Allah. And they even went so far as to say that Allah is not the creator of the actions of the human beings. When they commit sins, this is their own creation, and Allah doesn't have any control over or any decision in that matter. who has the correct opinion is in between these, that the human being does have free will, but not absolute free will. He has free will, and he has power or ability to execute his will, and therefore he's responsible for what he does. While at the same time, his will is subject to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and not outside of the control of Allah. And whatever Allah wills will be, and whatever Allah does not will, will never be. And no one can do anything except that it is subject to the will of Allah, either his universal will or his legal will. يعني الإرادة القونية, the universal will of Allah, which covers everything and nothing goes outside of it, or الإرادة الشرعية, the legal will of Allah, which is those things which Allah loves and He has legislated for us to do, the commandments and prohibitions that are found in the Sharia. And we are also in between the two extremes of al-amni, feeling safe from the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and al-iyas, having no hope of the mercy of Allah, yani being in total despair. We are between these two extremes. We don't feel that we are safe, that we have done so good, that our deen is so perfect, that there's no chance that we may be punished. We don't feel safe. We fear Allah's punishment, and we hope to escape from it. But we don't go to the extreme as some people did, and feel that they are guaranteed paradise and they will not be punished. Nor do we go to the other extreme if we have committed sins and feel hopeless or despair and give up hope of the mercy of Allah. But we do fear the punishment of Allah on one side and we hope for the mercy of Allah on the other side. This is the balance or the middle course of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And some of these things we discussed in detail during the course of the explanation of Al-Aqidah Al-Tahawiyyah, especially we discussed At-tashbih, comparison, and we discussed ta'atil, negation of the names and characteristics of Allah. And we also discussed in detail, in so many places in the book, Al-Qadr wal-Qadha, and the correct opinion of the Ahl Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, which is in between the two extremes of the Jabariyyah and the Qadariyyah. And then Al-Imam al-Tahawi closes his essay in point number 105 by saying, فَهَذَا دِينُنَا وَاِعْتِقَادُنَا ظَاهِرًا وَبَاطِنًا, that this is our deen and this is our aqidah. What has been explained in this essay, in brief, is the deen of Allah, and it is the i'tiqad or the aqidah of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, openly and inwardly. And this is what we believe, and we express it outwardly, and we also have the same belief inwardly. We don't say one thing outwardly and then have a different belief, hiding our true belief inwardly. But this is our belief that we express outwardly, and it is that which is in our heart also. وَنَحْنُ بَرَاءٌ إِلَى اللَّهِ مِنْ كُلِّ مَنْ خَالَفَ الَّذِي ذَكَرْنَاهُ وَبَيَّنَّاهُ, and we are free of any connection or relation in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We are free of whoever, anyone, who opposes or contradicts that which we have mentioned here and which we have explained in this essay, the brief explanation of the Aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah wa Jama'ah, Al-Aqeedah Al-Tahawiyyah. Then Al-Imam Al-Tahawi closes with supplication, a dua, Nas'alullah Ta'ala an yuthabbitana ala al-Iman. And we also ask Allah to make us firm on Iman, to give us al-Thabat, firmness, steadfastness on Iman. Wa yakhtima lana bihi, and that He seal our lives, yani that we die on this Iman, that we don't deviate, as Allah instructed us in the Quran to supplicate, رَبَّنَا لَا تُزِدْ قُلُوبَنَا بَعْدَ إِذْ هَدَيْتَنَا, يعني do not make our hearts to deviate after you have guided us, but make us firm and let us die on this يعني إيمان. And also, وَيَعْتِمَنَا مِنَ الْأَهْوَاءِ الْمُخْتَلِفَةِ وَالْآرَاءِ الْمُتَفَرِّقَةِ وَالْمَذَاهِبِ الرَّدِيَّةِ. And finally, Al-Imam Al-Tahawi closes with this supplication, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect us and to save us from the various corruption based on low desires and ideas and opinions which divide the ummah, those ideas or opinions which separated the ummah into sects and parties, and also from those groups, those madahib or those schools of thought which were yani the cause of deviation, yani the false schools of thought which were the cause of deviation and separation of the Muslims after the early generations of Sahaba and Tabi'in and those who followed their way. And then Al-Imam al-Tahawi rahimahullah mentions from amongst those groups that deviated, that followed their desires, followed their intellect, and established their religion based on their opinion, such as مثل المشبهة والمعتزلة والجهمية والجبرية والقدرية وغيرهم من الذين خالفوا السنة والجماعة وحالفوا الضلالة. And he mentions here a number of groups. From amongst them, he mentions the Mushabbiha or Mushabbaha, those who compare, who make tashbih, who compare Allah and the characteristics, the name and the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his creatures, the Mushabbaha. And he mentions the Mu'atazila, those who deviated from the way of the early scholars, as far as their interpretation of the attributes of Allah are concerned. Yani they reinterpreted, negated and reinterpreted the attributes of Allah, and we will discuss them yani in brief at the end of this summary. And also the Jahmiya, those who negated the attributes of Allah. They negated the names and the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not giving them any meaning whatsoever. And the Jibariya, those who believe that man is bound to do what he is destined with no free will of his own. The opposite of them, the Qadariya, those who believe that man is completely free to do whatever he likes. And then Al-Imam al-Tahawi, he says, وَنَحْنُ مِنْهُمْ بَرَاءٌ. We are free of any responsibility or connection or relation to them. وَهُمْ عِنْدَنَا ضُلَّالٌ وَأَرْضِيَاءٌ. And we consider them to be astray and to be headed for destruction. وَبِاللَّهِ الْعِصْمَةُ وَالتَّوْفِيقُ. And with Allah is al-ismah, يعني the protection, and with Allah is the tawfiq, the success in whatever we do. We seek Allah's protection and we seek success from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the end of the essay of Al-Imam al-Tahawi rahimahullah, and we have added here at the end of this handout some questions, mentioned some of the Ashraf al-Sa'ah, and we said we mentioned only some of the major signs of the approach of the last day, which are included in point number 100, the appearance of Dajjal, the descent of Isa, the rising of the sun from the west, the emergence of the beast from the earth, and so on. And there are also minor signs. What is the ruling concerning soothsayers and fortune tellers? That is, the Islamic Sharia has legislated that to believe in what is said by these soothsayers, or these people who predict the future, or who claim to have knowledge of the unseen, we understand that whoever goes to such people and believes what they said, that this is an act of kufr, it is an act of disbelief. No one should believe what these people say, because no one has knowledge of the unseen except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah are truly on the middle road, explain. And this is based on point number 4, the statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi in point number 4, that the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah are on the middle road, that the true deen of Allah is the middle course between al-ghulu wa taqfir, going to the extreme of falling short, and in between, the road in between a tashbih and a ta'atil, making comparison or negation, and in reference to al-qada wal-qada, the divine decree, we're in between the jabariya and the qadariya, those who said that the human being has no free will, or those who said that the human being has absolute free will, and between al-amni wal-iyati, those who feel themselves to be completely free and safe from the punishment of Allah, or those who have given up all hope of the mercy of Allah. We are in between all of these, and this is the middle road or the path of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And the last question, what are some of the groups which deviated from the correct path? And here Al-Imam al-Tahawi mentioned some of them, the Mushabbaha, those who make comparison or tashbih, the Mu'tazila, the Jahmiya, the Jabariya, Qadariya, and others besides them. And inshallah, in the next few moments, we will discuss briefly some of those groups that Al-Imam al-Tahawi has mentioned here. And from amongst them, these definitions are taken from the Sharh of Lum'at al-I'tiqad, the book of Aqidah of Al-Imam Ibn Qudama. In that book, Lum'at al-I'tiqad, he also summarized in brief the Aqeedah of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and the Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen has given a brief explanation of that book, and in the end of it, Al-Imam ibn Qudama, rahimahullah, mentions in point number 93 of his book, وَكُلُّ مُتَّسِمٍ بِغَيْرِ إِسْلَامِ وَالسُّنَّةِ مُبْتَدِعٌ, that everyone who is named by other than Islam, and they call themselves by other than the name of Islam, Muslims, or by the Sunnah, Ahl Sunnah, then all of these groups who take other names, such as Jahmiyyah, Mu'tazila, Rafida, Shia, all of these people who name themselves by other than the name of Islam or the Sunnah, then these people are all Mubtadi'ah, they are all Ahl Bid'ah. Here, Al-Imam Ibn Qudama mentions, for example, Al-Rafida, the Shia, Al-Jahmiyyah, Al-Khawarij, Al-Qadariyah, Al-Murji'ah, Al-Mu'tazila, Al-Qarramiyyah, Al-Kallabiyyah, وَنَظَائِرُهُمْ, and those who are similar to them. فَهَذِهِ فُرُقْ الضَّلَاعَ, these are some of the groups who have gone astray. وَطَوَائِفْ الْبِدْعَ, the people of innovation. أَعَاذَنَ اللَّهُ مِنْهَا, may Allah, we seek refuge in Allah from such groups. Here, Al-Imam or Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, in reference to this point of Al-Imam ibn Qudama rahimahullah, the Shaykh says, first in his explanation before defining these groups, and some of those groups which he mentioned here are the same groups that Al-Imam al-Tahawi mentioned, and there are others which Imam al-Tahawi didn't mention. Inshallah, we will give at least a brief definition of each of them. First, Al-Imam al-Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen, hafidhahullah, may Allah protect and preserve him, said that amongst the sign of the people of innovation is that they are described by other than the name Islam, and by other than the title of a Sunnah. They are described by those innovations which they innovated in the deen. Yani they are named by the, according to the deviation or the innovation that they invented in Islam. Those innovations in speech, as well as those innovations in action, as well as those innovations in belief. Yani bid'ah can be in speech, as well as in actions, as well as in aqidah. And these groups which are mentioned here are the groups of bid'ah in aqidah. But they also have practices and sayings that are also innovative. But the most important thing is that the first sign of the Ahl Bid'ah is that they describe themselves with other than the name Islam and As-Sunnah. The second thing, that they are fanatical in holding to their beliefs, in holding to their false opinion, and they will not reverse their opinion and go back to the truth if it became clear to them. Yani, if they have hold a deviant belief or practice some innovative practice, and you make clear to them that what they are believing or what they are doing is wrong, they will hold on to it anyway. They will not accept the truth and correct themselves. This is one of the signs of the people of bid'ah. Whereas the people of Sunnah, if they fall into error, whether in belief or in action or saying, when the truth is made clear to them, they accept it and they correct themselves and return to the truth. This is a sign of the people of Bid'ah, that they hold on to their false opinions even when the truth becomes clear to them. And the third major sign of the Ahl Bid'ah is that they detest and dislike the Imam of Islam and the Imams of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And that's why they speak harshly against those people who stand up for the Sunnah and who contradict and oppose and show up the innovation of the people of Bid'ah. That's why in the previous generations, those people of Bid'ah hated Shaykhul Islam Ibn Taymiyyah, because he was the Imam of his time who fought against all kinds of deviation and innovation. And for that reason, even until today, almost 800 or 900 years later, they are still claiming that he is a kafir, that he is a deviant, and saying harsh things against him, while his opinions and his positions are clearly based on strong evidences from Quran and Sunnah. In the modern times, we find some of them speaking harshly against, for example, Sheikh Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani, due to his firm and stern position against innovation and deviation. and so on, we find that these people consistently detest and speak harshly against the imams and the leaders and the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Then the Shaykh says that amongst those deviant groups who strayed from the middle course and who strayed from the aqidah and the practice, the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions, the first of them he mentions is Ar-Rafidiyya. Ar-Rafidiyya, this is the more proper and correct name for what is commonly called today the Shia. The Shia are many groups, but the worst of them and the most deviant of them are the Rafida. And they are the people that you find today following the opinion and the madhab of their so-called Imam Khomeini in Iran today. They are those who went to the extreme, beyond the bounds. They went to the extreme, al-ghulu, in reference to the Ahl Bayt, the family of Ali radiallahu anhu and Fatima radiallahu anha, and they declared disbelief of the Sahaba. They said that they all reverted back to disbelief after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, except a handful of them. And they also declared many of them to be corrupt and evildoers. These Rafida, they are many, many subgroups. From amongst them are those who went to the far extreme of claiming that Ali radiallahu anhu, Ali ibn Abi Talib, that he was a god. And there are others who are less than them in their extremism and who didn't go that far. The most extreme of them are those who claimed that Ali radiallahu anhu was God, and some of them said that the angel Jibreel alayhi salam made a mistake in delivering the revelation to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and in fact he was supposed to give the revelation to Ali. They first appeared, or their innovation first appeared during the Khilafah, or the ruling of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, when Abdullah ibn Saba, the Jew from Yemen, who established this group, said to Ali, "Anta al-ilah, you are the God." So Ali radiallahu anhu commanded that they should be killed, that they should be burned to death, and the leader of them, Abdul ibn Saba, escaped to al-Madain. Then the Shaykh says, their madhab in reference to as-sifat, or the characteristics of Allah, is not any uniform. Yani they don't have one madhab, but there are some from amongst them who are mushabbaha, who make tashbih, or comparison between the characteristics of Allah and the characteristics of creatures. And from amongst them are the mu'attil, those who make ta'til or negation of the sifat of Allah, yani emptying them of their meaning. And from amongst them are mu'tadil, those who are moderate, not going to this extreme of comparison nor to negation. There are also some amongst them who are moderate. Then the Shaykh says that they are called Rafida because they rejected Zayd ibn Ali ibn al-Husayn, ibn Ali ibn Abi Talib. They rejected him, and he was the great grandson of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. They rejected him when they asked him about Abu Bakr and Umar. They wanted him to say something evil, alaykum salam wa sallam. They wanted him to say something evil against Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, but he refused to do so and actually prayed that Allah have mercy on them. For this reason, they rejected him and they distanced themselves from him. And for this reason, they are called Rafida, those who rejected or refused. And if they rejected the position of Zayd ibn Ali ibn al-Husayn, the son of Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu. They call themselves Shia. Shia meaning party. They call themselves Shia because they claim that they are the party of the Ahl Bayt. And they are those who defended and supported the Ahl Bayt, the family of Ali and Fatima. So this word Shia, they use it in reference to themselves to claim that they are the supporting party of Ali radiallahu anhu and his family. And they also claim that they are the ones who called for the restoration of the rights of Ali radiallahu anhu as being the rightful successor of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the Khilafah really was his right and it was usurped or stolen from him by Abu Bakr and Umar and Uthman. So the second group that he mentions is one of the groups mentioned by Imam Tahawi, al-Jahmiyyah. And this name, Jahmiyyah, is in reference to the leader or the founder of this group, al-Jahm ibn Safwan, who was killed by Salim ibn Ahwaz in the year 121 of the Hijrah. Their madhab, in reference to as-sifat, the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is a ta'til, a nafi, negation. And in reference to the issue of the characteristics of Allah, the sifat of Allah, their madhab is ta'til. They are mu'attila, those who negate the characteristics of Allah. In reference to al-qadr wal-qadha, the divine decree, their madhab is al-jabr, jabriya. Yani they believe that the human being does not have free will. The Jahmiyyah, in reference to Qadr al-Qadha, they say the human being does not have free will. In reference to the issue of al-Iman, we said that al-Iman, according to Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, is speech, actions, and belief in the heart. It includes not only belief in the heart, but also speech. And it includes action, and it increase and decrease. The madhab of the Jahmiyyah in reference to Iman is that al-Iman is speech, it is confirmation in the heart, yani conviction in the heart, that when a person believes in Allah in their heart, then this is sufficient. They have Iman and they are mu'min, complete, perfect believer, just by having conviction in the heart. And this is called al-Irja', and that group who have such a belief is called the Murji'ah. Inshallah, all of this we will try to summarize for you and put in writing, but if anyone takes notes now, there's no harm in doing so. So their aqidah in reference to Iman is the aqidah of al-irja' or the murji'ah, those who hold that Iman is only a conviction in the heart, doesn't require actions. They said that speech and actions are not part of Iman. In reference to the issue of those who commit major sins, their madhab in reference to the person who commits a major sin and dies without repenting from it, they said that the person who commits a major sin is mu'min kamil al-iman. Yani that he is a believer whose iman is perfect. Yani committing sin has no effect on one's iman because actions are not part of iman according to their madhab. So the one who commits a major sin, to them, it doesn't affect his iman at all. His iman is perfect. So then the Shaykh says, in summary, in reference to these three issues, the sifat of Allah, qadr and qadha, and iman, he said they are mu'attila, those who do ta'til, negate the sifat of Allah. They are jabariya, those who deny the human being has any free will. And they are murji'a, those who believe that iman does not include action, that it is only a conviction in the heart. And the Jahmiyyah, he said, are many subgroups. There are many subgroups. But this is a general summary of the Jahmiyyah. Also, perhaps you may refer to the handout which we gave for Usul Sunnah. When we did the explanation of Usul Sunnah by Imam Ahmed, we had a listing of some of the deviant groups. And I think most of those groups are mentioned in that handout. Whoever has it, you may refer to it. Whoever doesn't have it, inshallah, we'll prepare a new handout with all of these groups mentioned, inshallah. And it should be prepared by before next week. The next group that we want to mention, actually, Sheikh Muhammad ibn Khalid Uthaymeen doesn't mention them in this order, but just for clarification, I think it will be easier to take some of the groups which are which he discussed in more detail. And from amongst those groups, and the more commonly mentioned groups, and from amongst those groups that was mentioned by Imam al-Tahawi, is al-Mu'tazila. Al-Mu'tazila. The Mu'tazila are the followers of Wasil ibn Atta. Wasil ibn Atta. He is the one who separated himself from the study circle of Al-Hasan al-Basri, rahimahullah, the great scholar and imam from amongst the Tabi'een, Al-Hasan al-Basri. That man, Wasil, separated himself from the study group of Al-Hasan al-Basri when he differed with Al-Imam Hasan al-Basri on the point of the position of a person who commits sins. He held the belief that the fasiq, corrupt or immoral person is في منزلة بين منزلتين, يعني in a position or status between two positions, between al-iman and kufr. يعني he is not a believer, mu'min, nor is he a kafir, but he is in between them. The fasiq person, corrupt, immoral person who commits sins is between these two positions. They said, the Mu'tazila, their belief is that he is في منزلة بين منزلتين. He is in a status or position between the position of iman and between the position of kufr, neither a believer nor a kafir, and that he will be eternally punished in the hellfire. This is the belief of the Mu'tazila in reference to the person who commits sins, the corrupt immoral person, that he is neither believer nor disbeliever, but that he will be punished in the hellfire. As opposed to the Khawarij, who said that the person who commits major sins is a kafir, and he will be in the hellfire forever. They agree that the person, the Mu'tazila and the Khawarij, both agree that the person who commits major sins, they will be in the hellfire forever. But the Mu'tazila didn't call him a kafir in this world. But in the end, the result is the same. They said he will be in the hellfire forever. So there's no difference. They said he is between the two positions, where the Khawarij said the person who commits major sins is a kafir. Their madhab, in reference to the sifat, the characteristics of Allah, is ta'til, mu'attila. Just like the Jahmiyyah, the Mu'tazila also believe that they believe in negating, denying the sifat of Allah. They do not affirm Allah's characteristics, which He has affirmed for Himself in the Quran, and which the Prophet ﷺ has confirmed for Him in the authentic Sunnah. So the Mu'tazila and the Jahmiyyah agree on this point of sifat. They are both mu'attila, or those who do ta'til or negation or emptying the sifat of Allah from their meaning. In reference to the two other major issues, al-qadr wal-qadha and iman, the Mu'tazila are the opposite of the Jahmiyyah in the next two issues. In reference to the qadr wal-qadha, the Mu'tazila, they are qadariyah. They believe that the human being has absolute free will. The opposite of the Jahmiyyah. The Jahmiyyah are Jabariyah. They said the human being does not have free will. He is forced to do whatever he does. Whereas the Mu'tazila say no. The human being has absolute free will. Whatever he does is his own doing. He's the creator of his own actions. And it's not subject to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the belief of the Qadariyah. And the Mu'tazila hold this belief. The belief of Qadariyah. They say that the actions of the human beings are not connected to the qada and the qadr of Allah, and that the human being is free to do whatever he wills. In reference to the one who commits a major sin, the belief of the Mu'tazila, as we said already, is that that person is subject to be punished in the hellfire eternally, and that that person is neither a believer nor a disbeliever, but between these two positions. This is the opposite of the position of the Jahmiyyah. The Jahmiyyah believe that actions don't affect one's iman. But the Mu'tazila said that the actions, if a person commits sins, it takes him out of iman. And he is no longer in the position of the mu'min, but he is in between iman and kufr. So the Mu'tazila said actions affect your iman, whereas the Jahmiyyah, they said actions are not part of iman, so it doesn't affect your iman. So in these two issues of the sins of the person, the Mu'tazila and the Jahmiyyah are on opposite ends. And in the issue of qadr al-qadha, divine decree, they are on opposite ends also. Then the next group, which was mentioned by or the next two groups that were mentioned by Imam al-Tahawi, besides the Mu'tazila and Jahmiyyah, are the Jabariyyah and Qadariyyah. He mentioned Jabariyyah and Qadariyyah. As for the Qadariyyah, the Qadariyah and the Jabariyah are opposite extremes. But the Shaykh mentioned the definition of the Qadariyah in detail. So we will start with the Qadariyah. He says that they are those who deny the Qadr. That is, that the actions of the human being are his own actions, by his own will and his own independent will and ability, independent of the will of Allah and independent of the power of Allah. This is the opinion of the Qadariyah, that the human being has independent will, independent power to do whatever he wills, not being subject to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These people, in this opinion or this madhab, first appeared from a man named Ma'bad al-Juhani in the end of the time of Sahaba, yani during the last years of the era of Sahaba. And he got this belief from a Magian, or a man from amongst the Majus in Basra. This idea was from the Majus, because it was the idea of the Magians that there are two creators, creator of good and creator of evil. So the Qadariyah took this idea and said that Allah is the creator of the actions of the human being, good actions. But when they do evil, they are the creator of their own actions. The Qadariyah are two main groups, the extremists and those who are not extremists. The extremists amongst them are those who deny that Allah has knowledge of the actions of the human being before they do it. That Allah has no knowledge of what the human beings will do before they do it. And also, they deny that Allah's will supersedes the will of the human being, or Allah's power supersedes the power of the human being. Yani the human being, his will is independent of Allah, and his power is independent of Allah's power. And also in his khalq or creation, yani those who hold this extreme belief that Allah doesn't have any knowledge of the action of the human being before they do it, nor does Allah have any power over their actions, nor does Allah's will supersede the actions of the human being. Those are the extremists of the Qadariyah, and they are almost non-existent. As for those who are less than the extremists, and they are the ones who are still present today, and their madhab is existent amongst the Muslim ummah today, they are those who believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows about the actions of the human being, but they deny that the actions of the human being are according to the will of Allah, and the power of Allah, and the creation of Allah. Ya'ani, they said that Allah has knowledge of the actions of the human being, but when the human being does these things, it's not by the will of Allah. Because they said, how can Allah will that the human being do evil actions? But as we explained in our discussions of Qadr wa Qadha, we said that the will of Allah, the irada of Allah, is of two types. The irada al-qawniyah and the irada al-shar'iyah. Certainly, the evil actions of the human being are not according to the irada shar'iyah, the legal will of Allah. The legal will of Allah means those things which Allah loves, those things which Allah ordered us to do. He doesn't order us to do evil, but He prohibits us from doing evil. So, from this perspective, we can say it is not according to the will of Allah, meaning the irada shar'iyah, irada deeniyah. The evil action of the human being is not according to the will of Allah, His legislative or legal will. But it is certainly according to al-irada al-qawniyah, the universal will of Allah, to which everything is subject. And we said, as the scholars of Islam said, that nothing happens except for the will of Allah. That whatever Allah wills will be, and whatever Allah does not will not be. This means that this universal will of Allah, that everything is subject to, it includes what Allah loves and what Allah does not love. We said that even the evil actions of the human being are subject to this will. That Allah willed in His universal will such things to happen, just as He willed and He created shaitan, which is purely evil. But Allah created shaitan for a reason, for a wisdom, and there is some benefit from it that may be known to the human beings or may not be known. And one of the benefits of it that's known is that shaitan was to be a test for the human being, so that those who resist the call of shaitan would be rewarded by Allah with His paradise. This is part of the wisdom of the creation of shaitan, and so on. It is so that whatever Allah has decreed in His universal will be, even if we see it as being evil. But there's a wisdom behind it, and Allah doesn't will anything except that there's a benefit and good coming from it. The Qadariya, the extremists from amongst them, denied Allah's knowledge even of the actions of the human being, while those who are less than the extremists, who are still present today, agree that Allah has knowledge of the human being, but that the actions of the human being are not subject to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Jabariya are the opposite of the Qadariya. They said that the human being has no free will, that the human being is majboor, and he is just forced to do whatever they do. When you come into this world, everything is already written, and you only act out what has been written without having any choice or any will in the matter. This is obvious foolishness. Clear that we are choosing to sleep or not to sleep, to eat or not to sleep, according to our desire and our will. Allah gives us a will to choose to do what we want to do, and He also gives us the ability to enact our will. Therefore, we are responsible for our actions. Otherwise, according to the Jabariya, if the human being is forced to do whatever they will and have no choice in the matter, then how can Allah then hold them responsible and reward or punish them for something that they had no any role to play in it? Also from all those groups that Al-Imam Ibn Qudama in his book Lumat Al-I'tiqad mentions, and the Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen Hafidhullah mentions, is the Murji'ah. The Murji'ah, we said that this was a belief held by the Jahmiyyah. It is the belief that actions are not a part of Iman. That if a person has conviction in his heart, he is a perfect believer, even if he doesn't do any good. Even if he commits sins, murder, whatever, doesn't matter. Actions are not part of Iman, and it doesn't affect one's Iman. The Murji'ah, this is in reference to the belief, in reference to the belief concerning Al-Iman. The Shaykh says, they are those who say that the actions of the human being are separated from their Iman. That actions are not part of Iman. That Iman is simply a conviction in the heart. And therefore the fasiq, corrupt, criminal person with them is a complete and perfect believer. If he has belief in his heart, no matter what actions he does, it doesn't affect. No matter what sins he commits, it doesn't affect. No matter what acts of obedience which Allah has commanded us with, that he doesn't fulfill, it doesn't affect him. And this, as we said, this idea of the Murji'ah, this is the belief of the Jahmiyyah. And it is the opposite of the belief of the Khawarij. The opposite of the belief of the Khawarij. The Khawarij, their belief is that the actions of the human being affect their Iman, and in fact if a person commits major sins, it takes them out of Islam and they become a kafir, destined to punishment in the hellfire forever. Concerning the Khawarij, the Shaykh mentions briefly concerning them that they are those who rebel against the legitimate rulers, and they fought against Ali ibn Abi Talib due to the fact that he made arbitration between the two opposing parties of Sahaba. Due to the fact that he accepted arbitration, they said this is unacceptable, and they fought against him for that reason, and they are named Khawarij because they go out and oppose and rebel against the legitimate rulers. Their madhab is that they disassociate themselves from both Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu anhu and Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu, and they make rebellion against the Imam or the leader of the Muslims, if, according to their opinion, he opposes the Sunnah. They said that Ali opposed the Sunnah in making arbitration between the opposing parties of the Sahaba in his time, and therefore they said, any Imam who opposes the Sunnah, then we will rebel against him, and we will fight against him. The Khawarij also are mostly well known for their belief and their madhab of takfir, of declaring the kufr of anyone who commits major sins. Whoever commits a major sin, they declare such a person to be a kafir, and that that person is permanently and eternally to be punished in the hellfire. And the Khawarij also have many subgroups, and who have different ideas and different beliefs, but this is a summary of the main position of the Khawarij. Then the Shaykh mentions the last two groups which he mentions, two of the groups near the end of what he mentions, which are not mentioned by Imam Tahawi, the Qaramiyyah and the Salima. These, both of these groups are from the mushabbaha, يعني those who make tashbih, who make comparison between the characteristics of Allah and the characteristics of His creatures. They make tashbih. The people who make tashbih are the opposite of the people who make ta'atil. The Jahmiya and the Mu'tazila made ta'atil. They negated the sifat of Allah. These people, these two groups, made tashbih. Instead of negating, they said that the characteristics of Allah, which Allah confirms in the Quran, that Allah has hands, they confirmed it. But they said His hands are like the hands of creatures. They said Allah has feet, His feet are like the feet of creatures. That Allah sees and His seeing is like His creatures. They made tashbih or comparison between the Creator and His creatures. The Karamiyyah, they are the followers of a man named Muhammad ibn Karam, who died in the year 255 of the Hijrah. And these people held the madhab, the tashbih or comparison, and also they held the idea of al-irja' or the murji'ah in iman. They believe that actions are not a part of iman. And they also have many subgroups. The other group, the Salima, he said they are the followers of a man who was called Ibn Salim, and they also hold the opinion of a tashbih or comparison between the sifat of Allah and the sifat of the creatures. Concerning a tashbih, actually there's somewhat lengthy discussion concerning it. I don't know if there's time to mention it here. Maybe it's better that we discuss the last group, which Al-Imam Ibn Qudama mentions. And this group falls under the statement of Al-Imam Al-Tahawi in the end of his essay, where he mentioned examples of those deviant groups. And he said, the Mushabbaha, the Mu'tazila, the Jahmiya, the Jabariya, the Qadariya, وغيرهم, and others besides them. Yani, this was an indication that there are other groups which he didn't mention, and from amongst them, the most famous and the most popular and the most widespread group that deviated from the Sunnah. And also, they are the closest to the Ahl Sunnah. They are the closest to the Ahl Sunnah of all the deviant groups, that is, the Ash'ariyya. The Ash'ariyya. And the Shaykh here mentioned the Ash'ariyya. Shaykh Muhammad ibn Salih al-Uthaymeen mentions the Ash'ariyya as the last group from amongst those. He said, those which were mentioned by Imam Ibn Qudama, these are some of the deviant groups. And he also said, and others which are similar to them, as Al-Imam al-Tahawi says, and others besides them, meaning that there are many other groups, and from amongst them are the Ash'ariyya. They are the followers of Abu al-Hasan, Ali ibn Ismail al-Ash'ari, who was a descendant of the companion of the Prophet, Musa al-Ash'ari. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari, radiallahu anhu. This man, al-Hasan ibn Ismail, Abu al-Hasan ibn Ali ibn Ismail al-Ash'ari, he was in the beginning of his life inclined towards and following the madhab of I'tizal or the Mu'tazila. He was following the belief of the Mu'tazila, who negated the sifat of Allah. Amongst their beliefs also was the belief in Qadariyya, yani that the human being has absolute free will and so on. That was his madhab in the beginning. When he reached the age of 40, he announced publicly his repentance and separation from that belief and that group. And he began to explain and clarify the falsehood of the madhab of the Mu'tazila, and he then held on to the madhab of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah and wrote a book to that effect, in which he clarified the beliefs that he died on, which are actually the beliefs of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. As for those who are known as Al-Ash'ariyya today, they are those who accepted his previous madhab before he came over to the madhab of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And that madhab was the ideas that he held when he was in between the madhab of the Mu'tazila and before he fully grasped the madhab of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And amongst the beliefs of the Ash'ariya is that they do not confirm the sifat, the characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They do not confirm the majority of them except seven. They confirm the names of Allah, the asma of Allah, while not confirming the sifat of Allah. They confirm seven of them, and the rest they make ta'wil, or re-explanation, interpretation, by their own intellect. They reinterpret them according to their own intellect. These seven that they confirm, they claim that these may be confirmed by the intellect. Yani that if anyone used their intellect, they will be able to confirm these characteristics, therefore they accept them. Those with their intellect, as they claim, cannot confirm, then they do not confirm them, but they re-explain them in their own way. And these seven sifat or characteristics which they explain are mentioned in this line of poetry, حَيٌّ عَلِيمٌ قَدِيرٌ وَالْكَلَامُ لَهُ إِرَادَةٌ وَكَذَلِكَ السَّمْعُ وَالْبَصَرُ. يعني حَيٌّ, that Allah has the characteristic of living, life. Allah is living. عَلِيمٌ, that He has knowledge. قَدِيرٌ, that He has power. وَالْكَلَامُ لَهُ, and He speaks. إِرَادَةٌ, that He has will. وَكَذَلِكَ السَّمْعُ وَالْبَصَرُ, and He and hearing and sight. Yani they confirm these characteristics of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of life, of knowledge, of power, of speech, of will, of hearing, and of sight. They confirm seven of the sifat that Allah has confirmed Himself in the Qur'an, or that which is confirmed by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the Sunnah, and they reinterpret everything else. For example, they said that hand, it doesn't mean that Allah has a hand, but it means that Allah has power. They said that the descending of Allah to the sama' al-dunya, to the heaven that is above the earth, the lowest heaven, they said it means the descending of Allah's mercy, or the descending of Allah's command, but that Allah Himself doesn't descend. While the Prophet ﷺ, in clear words, an authentic hadith, confirmed that Allah descends to the lowest heaven in the last third of the night, and whoever, and says, whoever asks me, then I will answer, and whoever and a request from me, I will give, and so on. Whoever seeks forgiveness from me, then I will forgive them. Then the Shaykh closes by saying they have many other innovations, particularly the interpretation of Al-Kalam and Al-Qadr and other things besides that. And they are very, very well known for the issue of Al-Kalam or speech, which we discussed in detail in the explanation of Usul al-Sunnah, that the Ash'ariya explain away the speech of Allah, while Allah has confirmed in the Qur'an, and it is confirmed in the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah's speech. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Just quickly, before we close, perhaps it may be useful for those who are not in a hurry, I do have with me a handout that was originally given out during the discussion of Usul al-Sunnah by Imam Ahmed, rahimahullah. And in this handout, we mentioned the names by which the people of Sunnah are known, Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, Ashab al Hadith, Salaf al Salih. And then the second part of this handout, which is relevant to what we're talking about today, there are some definitions or some brief introduction to a number of those groups which we mentioned tonight, al Rafida, al Khawarij, al Jahmiyyah, al Mu'tazila, al Qadariyyah, al Jabariyyah, al Murji'ah, al Sha'riyyah, or al Sha'irah, Ahl al Kalam, and Ahl al Bid'ah. So perhaps, inshallah, those who are not in a hurry, after Salat, immediately after Salat, we can copy this for those who are here and give them out. And inshallah, I will still try to prepare another handout concerning this matter, in which I'll try to rearrange the groups in a way that will be a little more easier to follow than the way they were given out at this time. And inshallah, yani it's not a necessity to be able to define each of these groups or to know the beliefs of each of them. But our intention tonight is only to introduce these groups, those which we are somewhat familiar with because we discussed them during the course of the book, and those which we may not be familiar with, just so that we have an idea that what these groups are, who they are, and some idea about their beliefs. Even if we are not able to identify the beliefs of each group, the important thing is to know what those deviant beliefs are, to know that those are deviations. Even if we can't identify them to the name of the group, it's not important. And what's important is to know what the deviant beliefs are, so that we don't fall into them and that we can warn others from them. So inshallah, I'll copy this, and give a copy to the brothers who are here tonight and the sisters. Naam. There's a question. Okay, from the sisters, there's a question. Assalamu alaikum. If a person believes in one God, but the message of Islam has not yet reached him, is he a Muslim? If a person believes that there is only one creator of the heavens and the earth, and they worship him alone, and don't worship anything along with him, and they worship Allah according to the knowledge that they have, to the best of their ability, because Islam has not reached them, the message of the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ didn't reach them, the Quran has not reached them, then that person would be classified as the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in the authentic hadith, as reported in Sahih Muslim, that they are from the Ahl Fitrah. We say that that person is from Ahl Fitrah. This means that, as he explained, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in that hadith, that they would be people on Yawm Qiyamah, whether they are in this time or in any previous time, between the sending of different prophets, when the message of one prophet had been lost, and another prophet had not yet come. The people who lived in those times, as well as the people who live in this time, who Islam didn't reach them. If they are such people, that Islam has not reached them in the world today, then they will be classified under Ahl Fitrah, and that means that on Yawm Qiyamah, Allah will test them. Allah will come before them, and He will ask them, am I not your Lord? And they will say, yes, you are our Lord. After confirming that they recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as their Lord and Creator, then He would order them to enter the fire. Yani He would have a fire that He would order the people to enter as a test for them to see if they would obey Him. Since Islam and the message of the Prophet didn't reach them, there was no chance for them to be tested as we have been tested when Islam came to us. Did we obey the Prophet ﷺ? Did we obey what Allah ordered us in the Quran or not? When that message came to us, we are tested. If we obey it, inshallah, Allah will reward us. If we have done it sincerely for Him, we will be rewarded with the paradise of Allah. And if we disobey and reject the truth and the message that came to us from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through the Prophet, then we'll be punished. So also they will be tested. But their test will come in the next life, on Yawm Qiyamah, because the message didn't reach them in their lifetime. So Allah will order them to enter the fire, and those who obey Him and enter the fire will have passed the test, and they will find themselves in paradise. And that which appeared to be a fire was really the garden, the paradise of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whoever obeys Him and enters that fire will find themselves in paradise. And those who disobey Him, they will be thrown in the hellfire. And this is the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that He gave them a chance. If the message didn't reach them in their life, He will give them a chance in the next life. They will be tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Himself. If they obeyed Him, then they would enter the paradise. And if they disobeyed Him, they would be punished in the hellfire. And this is more than justice. Because whoever disobeyed Allah, for sure, if a prophet came to them, they wouldn't have obeyed him. If they know that this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala standing in front of them and they disobey Him, then how would they obey a prophet who is only sent with the orders of Allah? And he indirectly is carrying the orders of Allah, but here is Allah ordering them Himself. So whoever obeys Him, they will pass the test. Whoever disobeys Him, then they will fail. But as for saying that they are Muslims, everyone who obeys Allah and is in submission to Allah is a Muslim. The meaning of Islam, it is submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that a person willingly submits themselves to Allah. So if a person is in willing submission to Allah, we say that they are Muslim. In general, in the general sense of the word, not in the Sharia sense. And in that sense, even the animals and creatures, they are Muslims. They are in submission to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the technical Sharia sense of Islam, it means that a person should testify. They should testify. They should say, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammad Rasulullah. This is the technical Sharia manner of entering Islam. But if a person didn't hear the message of Islam, and they believed that there was only one God, and they were on their fitrah, on their nature, worshipping Allah alone and not anything else besides Him, according to whatever knowledge they had, then that person, inshallah, would be tested by Allah on Yawm Qiyamah. They would be tested by Allah. And if they obey Him, they would be rewarded with paradise. And inshallah, they would obey Him. If they are the people who are really in submission to Allah in this life, but only because the knowledge didn't come to them, then for sure in the next life they would obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Any questions or comments or corrections from the brothers before we close? Now, Fadhil. Oh, I thought you were asking a question. I just want to just read here, just quickly, one statement concerning tashbih, the extremists of those who made tashbih. And I just want to say this as a reminder and a warning to us, that there are those who say, whoever makes isbat, confirmation of the names of Allah and the sifat of Allah, as found in the Quran and in the Sunnah, they said those people who confirm these sifat, that Allah has hands, Allah has feet, that Allah descends and ascends, and said these are the actions of creatures, of human beings. And they reject it. And they said, if you confirm it, then you are of the mushabbaha. You are of the people who make tashbih. You are comparing Allah to His creatures. Because creatures ascend and descend and have hands and feet and face and so on. So these people call the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, who really follow the correct way, mushabbaha. And they also call them mu'attila. They call them denying because the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah deny the comparison between Allah. We affirm His sifat, but without comparing them. So if we deny the comparison, they say we mu'attila, we negate. And if we affirm His sifat, they say that we're mushabbiha, comparison. So whichever way we go, they attack us. But really we take the middle course without negating and without comparison. And Imam Ahmed said concerning this, لا نزول أو لا نزيل عن الله سبحانه وتعالى صفة من صفاته لأجل شَنَاعَ الْمُشْنِعِينَ. يعني that we will not remove or negate or neglect any characteristics of Allah simply because of those people who lie against us and make false claims or allegations against us. And he also said, rahimahullah, that is Imam Ahmed, التَّشْبِيهِ أَن تَقُولَ يَدْ كَيَدِي. يعني التَّشْبِيهِ is not when a person affirms that Allah has a hand, but when they say that Allah's hand is like my hand, this is tashbih, which we don't do. We say that Allah's hand, but we say His hand is not like the hand of His creatures. And Ishaq ibn Rahway, the Shaykh of al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, says, at-tashbih is when a person says that the hand is like my hand, or the hearing of Allah is like my hearing. This is a tashbih, or comparison. As for the person who says, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that He has a hand, and we confirm such, and that He has hearing, and that He has seeing, without saying how is it, without explaining the how of it, not making an example for it or comparison, then this is not tashbih. This is isbat, or confirmation of what Allah has confirmed for Himself, without making tashbih, and without making an example, and without explaining the how of it, and this is what is confirmed in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِي شَيْءٍ وَهُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. That there's nothing like Him. There's no comparison or likeness, while at the same time we confirm وَهُوَ السَّمِيعٌ بَصِيرٌ, that He is hearing, السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ, that He is hearing and He is seeing. And finally, Shaykh Islam ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, says about the Jahmiyyah and Mu'atazila, that they are amongst them the extremists who even accuse and attack the Prophet of being mushabbaha, of making tashbih. Yani the Prophets who confirmed what Allah has confirmed for Himself, they said these are mushabbaha, as they said against the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. And he said that from amongst them was a man named Thumama ibn al-Ashra', who was one of the leaders of the Jahmiyyah. And it is confirmed that he said, Salafatun min al-Anbiya mushabbaha, that there are three of the Prophets who were mushabbaha, who made tashbih. And from amongst them he said is Musa, when he said, alayhi salam, inna hiya illa fitnatuka, in Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 156, and the saying of Isa, when he said, تَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِي وَلَا أَعْلَمُ مَا فِي نَفْسِكَ. And when he referred to Allah having a nafs, مَا فِي نَفْسِكَ, in Surah Al-Ma'idah, chapter 5, verse 116, and the saying of Muhammad, the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, يَنْزِلْ رَبُّنَا, that Allah descends. These things, they said, that this is a form of tashbih, that the Prophet, in making such statements, have compared Allah to His creatures, in describing Him with actions or characteristics that the creatures have also been described with. And we say that we affirm for Allah whatever He has affirmed for Himself, and whatever the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has affirmed for Him, and we negate from Allah whatever He has negated from Himself, and whatever the Prophet ﷺ has negated from him. And we also affirm for Allah any characteristic of perfection, if it is indeed a characteristic of perfection. And we negate from Allah any characteristic of imperfection, because Allah doesn't have any characteristic of imperfection. And this affirmation of the characteristics and names of Allah is without tashbih, comparison, and without ta'atil, negation, and without ta'awil, false explanations or reinterpretations, and without takyif, or explaining how does Allah ascend, how does Allah descend, how are Allah's hands, but without doing so. This is the manhaj or the methodology of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah, and this is what the scholars of the Sunnah have explained in their books of Aqeedah. And inshallah, in the near future, in the next course that we will take in Aqeedah, perhaps inshallah, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we will discuss these matters related to the Asma and Sifat in detail from the book of Al-Imam Ibn Qudama, Lumat al-I'tiqad, which has been explained in a brief sharh by Shaykh Muhammad Ibn Salih Al-Uthaymeen, Hafidhullah. We hope inshallah in the near future that we will begin that book. Now, let us just be reminded that this is the end of our course in Aqeedah, Tahawiyyah, and whatever notes are missing from anyone, whatever handouts are missing, or anything that's missing, please, in this period of time, in the next month or so, please try to remind us so we can collect those things. In the next few weeks, inshallah, we will concentrate on the fiqh. We will concentrate on the fiqh, so that we will review. We will begin our review in the next fifth class. We will begin our review of the hadith which we took from Kitab Salat, mainly focusing on the ikhtilafat, or the differences of opinion. We will discuss them in detail and maybe just quickly pass through the ahkam or the rulings from each hadith. And alhamdulillah, those ahkam have been prepared for us by the effort, Jazahallah khair, of one of our sisters, Ismail, who has prepared those notes of the ahkam, from all of the hadith that we took, and those will be copied and inshallah distributed on Tuesday in our fifth class, fiqh al-hadith, and you can use those as a reference for the examination, and we will discuss in detail the ikhtilafat, which I will prepare, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Perhaps the review will take 2 or 3 weeks. Hopefully we will finish it before Ramadan and take the exam before Ramadan, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Then after Ramadan, you have the whole of Ramadan to review Aqeedah Tahawiyyah, and after Ramadan we will take the exam, maybe 2 weeks after Ramadan. So we have at least a brief review and a chance to ask questions, then we'll take the exam for Aqeedah Tahawiyyah. Then we'll have, inshallah, a brief break, where we may discuss any issues that we want before we start on the, and before we go on, inshallah. Any questions before we leave? سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك